Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. You know, we've got camp this week, which you heard Caleb talk a little bit about. There's one thing that I don't think he mentioned that's near and dear to me, and it's this. You know, we've got about 120 kids that are coming, and probably half or more are unsaved. You know, half or more from families just in the area that, you know, they love their kids coming to our sports camp. First of all, it's cheaper than anybody else's camp. You know, the kids have a great time. They beg to come. But the thing is that we do this so they might meet Jesus. And so we covet your prayers. You know, the finance is great. As the Lord leads you, great. You can give. You can do all that. But let me tell you something. The most important thing is to pray that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of the calling of Jesus on their life. You know, it's God's heart for everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the scriptures say, right? And so we have a mandate as believers to pray for the unsaved. And so I encourage you this week, as you're thinking about camp, and many of you are volunteering to help in some capacity, I encourage you not just to be there in person, but to be there in prayer. And for those that aren't there in person, please pray. You know, just in your, you know, whether it be your morning ritual or your drive to work, whatever time you spend some time with Jesus. And I hope, by the way, all you believers are doing that daily. Okay, I'm assuming that, or I'm just assuming that, but truly that you are doing that. Lift up the kids at camp, lift up the workers, you know, lift up, you know, the weather, that it all be good, you know, just all those different things. Just lift it up, because we believe God to do some great things. We've had literally over the years hundreds of salvations. Hundreds of children have come to know Jesus through our camp, which is awesome. Amen. And so just continue to keep that in prayer. Okay. So with that in mind, let me tell you something. Though camp is something that we do, we've got some great people who lead it. You know, we've got Pastor Aaron and Pastor Yusuf now. I look after that, so I don't have to give a lot of thought to the inner workings of it. So I can promise you that I have given my full time to you this morning to prepare. And I believe God's given me a word. I believe it's important. In fact, I believe that what I'm going to share with you, I didn't say this with the first group, this is probably the most important revelation that I experienced in my life in my early years. And without it, I wouldn't be standing here today. In fact, without it, I'm not sure I'd be alive today, literally. And so we talked last week, we began a series called Slaying the Giants. And we used the background of David and Goliath. And for those of you that weren't here, you can get it online. If you don't know how, just see anyone with one of the name badges and they'll help you navigate to that. So you can have the audio or the video version. But essentially, we made the point that there are giants in your promised land. And so the story of David and Goliath was a natural promised land. It was a physical place, right? Goliath was physically standing there. But I want to tell you that each one of us have a land of promise. And what is that? That God has promised you from before you were formed in your mother's womb, that he had promises for you, precious promises of things that you would accomplish, things that you would experience in your life. God has those things for you. And that, so spiritually speaking, that's your land of promise. That's your promised land, all right? But here's the thing. There are giants in the land that want to hinder you and stop you from the promises. And in fact, Satan works really hard working through people and circumstances and situations to hold you back from what God's got for you. So those are the giants that you face. And here's the thing. If you don't slay them, they'll slay you. Listen to what I'm saying. If you don't deal with them, they'll eventually overrun you. And the thing is, they don't play fair. Those giants. And in fact, the longer you leave the giant, the bigger it grows. And so it's better to deal with the little giants when they're little than when they grow into these huge monsters, much harder to deal with, all right? So we talked about that last week, and we talked about the fact that listen, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's, all right? And that it's not in your power, but in his power, all right? And that if you trust him, you are able to overcome. Well, and it says this in Zechariah. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's how they overcame, and that's how you and I can overcome as well. But today, I want to talk about a giant that's far bigger than any Goliath in your life. Far bigger than that boss at work, far bigger than that bully at school, far bigger than any circumstance, financial or anything, health, far bigger than any of those external giants that you can have. And you're like, my God, I thought those were big enough. Well, there is another group of giants that are bigger and stronger in some ways than those giants we talked about last week. And so I give that as a prelude. Let's go to Scripture and see what those giants are. And so it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you'll turn there in your Bibles or your apps, I'm going to be reading from NIV version. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look about who these unseen giants are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. For though we live in the world, Paul's writing, and he says this, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world or of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So go back to verse 3, if we could, on the screen. So let's look at this. Let's digest this a little bit and pull this apart, all right? So Paul says this, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God's Word isn't just another book. It's the book. It's God's Word to us, all right? So the Lord is speaking through Paul to us. And he says that though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. Well, how does the world wage war? You know, they use guns and ammunition and you know, words and all those kinds of things, right? And so it's a natural kind of thing. And here's what Paul's saying, is that your war that you fight is not natural. So then I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to ask you this question. Why are we fighting spiritual wars with natural words? So listen, you're facing your boss at work. You're facing that bully at school, and they're doing words, and they're doing things against you in the natural, as the world does. Do you get pulled down to their level, and you fight back the same way? Let me tell you something. If you get pulled down to their level, you will lose. But what you need to do is take a step up into the spiritual realm, because our battle isn't against flesh and blood, all right? It's not. And you need to realize that even those external giants that are in your life, that it's not a war of words that you will win. It's one in the Spirit. And are you willing to recognize that? Because here's the thing. Somebody stomps on your foot, right? What do you want to do?
I don't like that.
No, I stomp on their foot. Somebody punches you in the nose. I know what I'm going to do. I have this reflex reaction, right? Boom, you know? You want to fight back with whatever, fire with fire, right? Whatever comes against you, you're going to push back. But God has specifically said right here that you don't fight like the world fights. And if you want to be an effective fighter, then you can't fight how the world fights. Because there's always bigger Goliaths out there, right? So let's read on. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That word demolish is actually kind of a technical construction kind of term. When it says demolish, it means literally to bulldoze things down. In other words, not just to push a little bit, but remove them out of the way. So all of a sudden now we're realizing that we're fighting against what? Strongholds. Strongholds, what is that? Well, let's go on, verse 5. We're told, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So all of a sudden now we realize that what this is talking about, these strongholds, are thoughts. Now, specific thoughts, right? It's not just your everyday kind of thinking, but it's arguments and pretensions. Well, let's define that. Arguments means reasoning that's in your mind that is against God's truth, all right? And then pretension. How many people have used the word pretension in a sentence in their entire life? I never have. I don't even think, unless I read it here, I don't think I've ever spoken the word in my life. I took some time, I sort of knew what it meant, but I looked it up, you know, Webster's to get a definition of what it means. And it means high thing. In fact, some Bible versions translate it, high thing. If you're pretentious, it means that you're above other people, that your understanding is better than others, that you know better than others. And so literally when it says we demolish, meaning you and me, we need to demolish arguments, those things that are against God's word. And when we think we know better than God, those things that sets us up against what? The knowledge of God. And so then it's condensed into this. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we have to rein in our thinking. And if we don't, guess what? They create strongholds in our lives. There's all kinds of strongholds. In fact, I have a picture, if you can throw up that castle illustration, all right? So there's a picture. Oh, there's me too. Yes. Oh, they got rid of me. So, and in fact, that might have been a great thing. You know, if you left it, that actually works, if you get what I'm saying. Because this picture, in a sense, is the illustration of your brain, Okay, I want you to think about this. And you might think, well, hold it, that's a little crazy, Pastor Carl. Well, hold on. In the parable of the sower in Luke, the Lord talks about that our lives is like ground, and his seed is like the word. All right, he talks about the four different kinds of ground: hard ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, and good ground, right? And so think about your life. In your brain, your soul, is just this huge fertile land, all right? And it's there, why? So that God can plant his seeds in it, his truth. But all through your land, there are strongholds. See the castle there, standing there in the middle? Well, what does that represent? That represents an area of thinking, of reasoning, a high place in your life that isn't lining up with God's truth. And there it is. So you got all the rest is going. And for some of us, we might say, well, God, I've given you most of the land. You know, like that's just that one little spot over there. Come on now, you know that doesn't work, right? You know, when you have a stronghold, here's what happens. It affects everything around it, right? And so this represents our thinking. And so what we have to do is come to a place of surrendering all of our thinking to the Lord. And you might say, well, I thought when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior that I did that. No. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you accept him where? Into your brain? Where does he go? Into your heart. It's down here. And so he's whole, he's complete right there. But here's the thing, that's about 16 inches away from your brain. So here's what happens. You spend the rest of your life renewing your thinking, changing your thinking, right? Because of the Holy Spirit here saying, look, that's not right. And you have to make a decision to unlock the key to the strongholds. See, here's the thing. God's not going to do that for you. That stronghold is something you've established. So let me give you some examples. We all were kids once, right? You're all in a household of some sort. Maybe it was a normal kind of household. Maybe it was a dysfunctional household. But you know what? You can at least thank Jesus you're still alive today to talk about it. All right? So the point is, whatever happened, happened back then. But here's the thing. Your parents, your guardians, your teachers, your peers around you, they said things and did things, and it all impacted your life, all right? Something maybe was said against a different race of people, for example, right? Maybe your family had some racist tendencies. And so as a young person, you're there, and the parents are speaking that way. And those seeds get what? Planted. And so that becomes what? A stronghold in your mind. And all of a sudden, now you grow up, and now you're racist. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, all right? I'm just saying that what happened is those seeds got planted. Now, here's the problem. The Bible says that Jesus is irrespective of persons. And that's just a fancy way of saying that it doesn't matter what race you are, what creed you are, what culture you are, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're born on one side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks, that God loves you all the same. And that we as God's believers, as Jesus people, should treat everybody the same. But here's the problem. You got this stronghold in your brain. It says those people, and insert name. You get what I'm saying? And you might not have even put it there. You get what I'm saying? You were just in an environment where it got planted. And I'm telling you something, we all have those, a different various forms, all right? All of us have strongholds. In fact, not recognizing it is one of the schemes of the devil. But recognizing you've got some wrong thinking, all right? So I gave this other illustration at the first service. Sandra's doing some stuff but she was here at the first service. And so when we got married, I'm like, this is awesome. You know, my parents, they had a good marriage, you know, and so this marriage is going to be awesome as well, right? And so let me give you a little snippet of what my observations were of my parents. So I was a farm kid. We lived on a farm, all right. So my mom did, you know, all the books for the farm and did a whole. She worked probably harder than my dad, if the truth be known. But my dad worked hard too, you know, out in the fields and all that. So here's the deal. Here's how it worked in my family dynamics. I'm a little kid. My dad would come in, say, "Ma, we need to do this and this and this," and mom would say, "Okay," you know. And then my dad would leave, and she'd grumble a little bit, but listen, she'd do it. And so that was my life. Dad spoke. Mom did. And I'm like, okay, this is easy. You see where this is going, right? And I'm like, okay, so I get married. I believe I married the right girl, you know, and life's going on, right? And I go and say, "Sandra, I need you to do this, this, and this." She goes, "Well, why?" I'm like, "Because you have to. You're my wife." And you can see how over a couple of years, there's going to be an issue, right? Now, one of the things that I was taught that never hit a woman, all right? So I never, ever was violent towards Sandra, but I don't think Sandra got that memo, Because here's what happened. You know, there was one day where I just pushed. I went over the line in pushing on something, and she blew a breaker. In fact, her whole circuit board blew. Like, and so she just went nuts. You know what I'm saying? And attacked me. And listen, I'm not advocating that this is good. In fact, nobody go home saying do this. All right, but it was the right thing for me at that time. Because it was a wake-up call. I remember walking away from that because, again, I wasn't going to get involved. And I remember screaming at God. I was walking out in the field, screaming at him, why did you give me this woman? She's crazy. You know, I'm doing the whole thing, right? You know, just because, you know, I'm just saying, you know, that had all just happened. And, like, she's the problem. What's wrong? And so I remember between breaths, God said, are you finished? So that left another tirade of me screaming at him. And I don't know whether any of you have ever gotten to the point where you've yelled and screamed where there's no juice left. You just can't yell any longer. You just, it's gone. It's out. And the Lord said, can I finally talk to you? And I'm like, I'm done. I'm just done. And here's what the Lord showed me. As I complained to him a little more, a little calmer, here's what God said. She's not the problem. But I'm like, but, no, she's not the problem. You are. So that left into a little more of a tirade. I had a little more gas left in the tank. I could yell a little bit more. But then after that was all done, I had to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And this was pivotal in my marriage relationship. And here's what God said to me. You love your wife no matter what. And that was a stronghold that I had that here's the thing, she needs to do what I tell her. That's how it works in marriage. But that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about working together to esteem your wife above all things, that she's the weaker vessel, and treat her with dignity and respect, to listen to her opinions. You know, all of those kinds of things was foreign to me. You understand what I'm saying? Because of my upbringing. Listen to me. My story may sound, you know, pretty rough. You've all got stories. It may not be that, but you have strongholds in your lives, each and every one of you, that if you don't deal with, they're bigger monsters than that boss at work. They're bigger monsters than your finance. They're bigger monsters than anything external. Why? Because you go to sleep with that monster. You wake up with that monster. It's with you all the time because it's a part of your thinking. So you have to make a decision. Is it going to overcome me or am I going to overcome it? Now we know because it's in the Bible that God has an answer, right? So basically, I've just kind of spelled out, okay, here's the situation. We got giants on the inside in the form of strongholds. How do we deal with them? And that's where I'm going to take you to another scripture so we can talk about this. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have the answer. I love that the Word has the answer. It's got the answer for every question you've got. It's all there. It's all here. It's all here. All right, so Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 10. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Sound familiar, right? But against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So go back to verse 10 if we could, guys. And so it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. So we have hope, right? We've got the presence of Jesus in our lives to make the difference. Remember this, scripture says this, the one that's in you is what? Greater than the one that's in the world. And Satan is in the world, your obstacles are in the world, and the one in you is bigger and stronger. Okay. So then we're instructed, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes or the devil's plans against you. You see, God has plans for you, but the devil has plans for you as well. And the devil works through the giants in your life to try to hinder you from receiving the promises that God has for you. How many people want the promises of God? I pray all of you want the promises of God. Well, if that be true, then you have to deal with every single giant that's coming against you. So, it says, put on the full armor of God. So, back in the 80s when I accepted the Lord, there was this teaching going around about the necessity to put on the armor of God. And so literally the teaching was, okay, you put on, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, and literally go through the actions of it. So in other words, when you wake up in the morning, you do all of this, you know. And so one of the questions, I'm like a naive new believer, right? So I see and hear about this teaching and, oh, how this is so important, you got to do this. And I'm like, well, when do you take it off? And then if you take it off, let's say you take it off at night. You put it on in the morning, you take it off at night, right? Like, you know, you think kind of like a natural soldier. Well, then what about when the giants attack me in my dream life? I don't know about you, but some of the biggest giants I've dealt with in my life was actually while I was sleeping. So when you put it on, okay, so then do you keep it on? Well, then if I keep it on, do I have to pretend I'm putting it on every morning? You can see how this gets weird really fast. Because this isn't talking about natural armor. And to go through some kind of ritual of putting helmets on and doing it, that's not what the Apostle Paul was talking about at all. Had nothing to do with that. Can you bring that scripture back up? And so as we look at that, put on the full armor of God. So think about this. He was a prisoner when he was writing Ephesians. I can imagine him sitting there at the table, you know, writing a letter, and there's probably Roman guards standing there, right, in their full armor. It's like, wow, Lord, I think this might be a good comparison here, that I can compare this and show how this works. So it's not talking about natural. Remember, our battle isn't against what? Flesh and blood. It's against spiritual things. So then the armor isn't natural either. It's spiritual. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, some of you right now are looking at that saying, against authorities. I knew the government was evil. Like right away, you're like, it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. All right? The things that they're talking about here are spiritual authorities. So just as God the Father has God the Son as the host of all the armies of angels, all right? Satan, a fallen angel, has all the fallen angels who have now become demons under his authority and power. All right, so when they talk about the authorities here and powers of dark world, that's talking about all the spiritual realm that's going on. Now, I'm not here to scare any of you, but right here at this moment, the presence of Jesus is here. The Bible says that his glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. His presence is everywhere. But in the midst of that, there are angels fluttering about as well, all right? There are demonic forces here, right here as well. In fact, some of you right now are being attacked, even as I'm speaking to you about some of these things. Say, that guy, he's crazy. Don't listen to him. You know what I'm saying? That's a demonic voice just speaking into your life. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Try to hinder you from receiving what God's got for you. But I want to tell you something. I'm just speaking the word today. You can see I'm underlining some scriptures here. I'm saying this is what the Bible says. So listen, this is the truth. And so here's the thing, if you're hearing voices that's contrary to the truth, those are strongholds in your life, and you need to deal with it. And how? We heard a song. How do we deal with it? In the name of Jesus. There's power and authority in the name of Jesus. But then step two is, you got to fill that void. In other words, okay, that wrong thinking, that word that has come, you got to say, okay, what's the right word? And so you rebuke that, but then you got to fill it with whatever the Word of God says. Okay, so let's go on. So again, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So there is a warfare going on. This has nothing to do with your salvation. When you accept Jesus, the Bible says that nobody can steal you from your Father's hand. But I'll tell you, the devil can wreak havoc to make your life as miserable as possible so you don't do what God's called you to do. How many people want a good life as well as being saved? You want both, right? Yeah, we all want that. Okay, so let's move on. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And it's interesting that we're told twice to put on the full armor of God in this scripture. So that means there's something about armor of God. Now, we already know it's not natural. It's spiritual, right? So let's look at what that really means. So let's jump down Ephesians 6, verse 14. So it says this, then stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So jump back to verse 14. So as we look at this, stand firm with what? The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Well, I have a belt on. It's underneath my shirt here. Now, if I took my belt off, bad things would happen. Okay, that's just the reality of it, all right? So what's the belt for? It's hold my pants up, right? You know, it's a gird your loins, right? With the idea is to hold everything together. Well, here the Apostle Paul is saying, look at the belt of truth. Jesus said this in John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, all right? So it's synonymous, the truth meaning nothing concealed, that everything is just up and available for all of us. But here's the thing. What does a belt do? Hold everything together. You know what keeps you together? Truth. And nothing concealed truth. So listen to me. You want to win in attacks from Satan? Then don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. In other words, don't sin. Because what happens is, as your life is held together by the truth of God's word, and you're honoring God, then you have the strength to overcome. All right, that's the reality of it. Now again, does sinning make you lose your salvation?
No.
No, because our good behavior isn't what saves us. It's the blood of Jesus. We're going to receive communion in a little while. So it's based upon what Jesus' blood has done for us. But here's the thing. If you've been given such an amazing gift of the gift of salvation, why carry on sinning? Why kick Jesus in the teeth, so to speak, and why count him as hardly worth anything when you carry on sinning? And here's the thing. That's the enemy working in strongholds in your mind. That's how the enemy works. He wants you to fall victim to the strongholds of your mind so you miss out on the promises and it discredits God at the same time. You don't want to do that. You want to have the truth wrapped around you so tight that that's all that your life is about. So there we go. So truth buckled around your waist. The breastplate of righteousness in its place, right? So there's that breastplate. You can see, you know, a Roman soldier with that shield on the front. And where's Jesus? We talked about this. He's inside your heart, right? You are declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And the thing is, as you walk in that righteousness, as your character and nature is righteous, then there's no place for guilt or shame or remorse or any of those things. Why? Because you're allowing truth and righteousness to rule and reign in your life. So you go on and say, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's a little weird, right? What does that mean? Here's what it means in a nutshell. It means that your feet are going in the direction to share Jesus. That's what it's all about. In fact, the whole reason of the armor, it's not really about you. It's so that you can carry the message of the gospel to the world around you. In fact, with that in mind, let me just check in with you. Has anyone here never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? You see, all that I'm talking about, this is of no benefit to you unless you ask Jesus into your heart first. Once he's on the inside, he can help equip you to deal with the strongholds, to deal with the struggles that are going on in your mind. So if there's anyone here that needs Jesus, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, and you'd like to right now at this very moment, I just ask you to slip your hand up in the air. Just let me know, hey, that's me. Anyone here? All right, just want to make sure, okay, I don't see any hands. If I missed you, make sure you see me after service, okay? Because that's the most important decision you'll ever make. Now, I love the very next line. What does it say? Go to the next line, 16. It says, in addition to all this. So let's back up. Go back now. So here's what it means. Think about this. These three things are the base. The other things are additional. Truth, righteousness, and purpose in your life to share the gospel. That's why we have the armor. If you want to see Satan defeated in your life, you have a heart to share Jesus with those around you. And that doesn't mean, you know, you might say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being a friend to the people around you and being there when there's a need in their life and offer prayer. And then when they say, why are you so sane when the whole world's crazy? You can say, well, I want to introduce you to the Prince of Peace that I met some time ago. Let me tell you my story. You know, and you don't need coaxing or counseling on how to share what Jesus has done in your life. And I don't know about you, but I always end my story and say, God's not done with me. I'm still a mess, but I'm better than I was. Right? because that's where we're at. We're all on that spiritual journey. But I can't encourage you enough to make that a priority in your life. And I'll tell you something. God will move heaven and hell to watch over you if you're about your master's business. All right? If it's all about you, you're on your own. But if you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's watching over you. He's got angels assigned to you. You know, he's got purpose. He's got purpose as well. All right, so let's move on. Verse 16. In addition, so there's more now, right, to this armor. Take up the shield of faith which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So listen, I have yet to see a flaming arrow come and hit me. Has anyone here had any of that ever happen? All right, well, what is it talking about? Oh, we have one flaming arrow. Okay. Well, the point is, this is not natural flaming arrows, all right? These are talking about the schemes of the devil throwing thoughts into your mind. That's what this is about. And we're to do what? Hold up the shield of faith. Faith is what? Trusting in what God has said. God says you're more than an overcomer. God says that you're victorious in him. God says that he's got a plan for you, that no matter what the devil schemes, that as you follow him, you will get the victory. That's the shield of faith. You're professing God's word against those evil thoughts that are coming at you. And every single one of us have had fiery darts fired at us. Some of you have been experiencing it this very morning in your life. Maybe even coming to church. It's like, you don't need to go to church. They don't have bacon anymore. Yeah, you don't go to church. Yeah, it's just, man, don't go there. You get what I'm saying? In other words, the devil will use whatever he can to hinder you from doing what God's called you to do. Okay, let's move on. Verse 17. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Helmet of salvation, right? Protecting your soul from the enemy, right? To make sure that you're allowing it to be renewed daily in him. And then obviously the sword of the Spirit, and it's defined. I don't even have to kind of figure this out, right? Which is the word of God. What did Jesus do when he was in the wilderness in Luke and he was tempted three times by the devil? What did Jesus do? He quoted the word. He actually used it from the Deuteronomy, which is actually called, in the original Jewish Bible, it's called the Book of Remembrance. Pretty cool, right? So he remembered that scripture and quoted three different passages saying the word of God says, and he pushed the devil back. But here's the problem. It said, and the devil left him until an opportune time. Meaning, look, that wasn't the first or the last time the devil was going to show up. And it's the same for you, all right? You're going to have to be ready for these fiery attacks that happen. Okay, let's move on. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So here's the deal. Pray in the Spirit. Well, what is that? Think about this. If you're a natural soldier and you're out on the field, right? What is the most dangerous thing to happen to a soldier out on a mission? To lose contact with the commander-in-chief. In other words, to not be able to receive direction on where that person needs to be. And it's the same for you and I. In other words, that's why we need to be praying in the Spirit all of the time, connected to God, hearing what he's saying, because that's how you defeat your enemy. You can't defeat him with words. You can't defeat him with sticks. You can't defeat him with natural actions. You defeat him in the spirit realm. And that can only happen, you can only win, by saying, in the name of Jesus, and then quoting whatever Jesus told you to say, because you're just speaking on his authority. Remember, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. Okay, and then I love this. With this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I love this little part at the end. It's not about you. In other words, you've got all this armor on to share the gospel, to do the message of the good news to the world around you, to defeat the strongholds in your mind. Why? For the others. Now, I told you the story about, you know, for Sandra and I. Now, here's the thing. We had five children. I can tell you with certainty that stronghold that I had is not in their lives. Now, they got their own strongholds, all right? They got other issues, all right? But the point is, that one where I treated Sandra as a subordinate, as something less, they don't have that, because as they grew up, they saw me treat her with dignity and respect and with equality. And so that's what happens. If we allow the strongholds to stay in our lives, guess what? It has an impact on all those around us. They see that. I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy that brings honor and glory to Jesus. Not a legacy of, oh yeah, my dad gave me that. Oh yeah, my dad gave me that too. And I don't mean in a good positive way, all right? We don't want that. We want to have a legacy of My mom, my dad, they were delivered from this. They gave this to Jesus, and I saw the change in their life. Isn't that what you, don't you want your kids and those around you to have that kind of testimony about you? Absolutely. That's what we want to hear. And we can have that victory. Amen. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. We're going to sing that one song, Jesus, again at the end. Now, here's what I want to leave with you. Okay. I want to leave you with three takeaways. And we're going to put up our summary scripture or our points up here. And we'll finish that as the team's getting up. So you want to take your picture or whatever, you can do that. So to slay the internal giants, first of all, recognize that some of the most powerful giants that we will face can't be physically seen. We talked about that in 2 Corinthians, right? You have been provided spiritual weapons to be victorious. We talked about that as well in Ephesians 6. In Romans 8, there's another portion of scripture there. And number three, the Lord will be faithful to you. There is not a giant in your life that you can't overcome. In fact, that's one of the schemes of the enemy. He'll speak to you with those fiery darts and say, this is too big for you. You've had this for too long. You can't let this go. Let me tell you something. Those are all lies. Those are all schemes of the enemy. God has given you authority and victory to do it. You can do this in Him. Amen? So let's stand together. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song, Jesus, again. But while we're doing it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Lord for just one stronghold that's in your life. Because if I didn't say that, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm too overwhelmed. I got like 100 of these. Just one. Let's do one a day. Can we do that? You know, let's do one stronghold that as I was talking, that thing popped up and said, yeah, that's a stronghold. That is something that is definitely against what God wants me to do or wants me to think. And I want you, while we're singing this song, to lift that stronghold up to the Lord and ask that He would enter into that stronghold. And only you got the key. Let Him in. That you give Him permission to go in and begin to dismantle that stronghold. And this will mean, I'm telling you, He'll do His part, but there's going to be a part you're going to have to play as well, all right? You got to work in concert with Him. So that one stronghold, that's what you're thinking about as we sing this song. And then we'll receive communion together and close. All right, go ahead.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise.
He roars like a lion. He blares.
Take your communion cup, and if you didn't have one, you can grab on the table at the back. You just open up the little part, you'll find a little wafer in there. This wafer represents the body of Jesus. He has made a way for every single stronghold to be broken in your life. In other words, He has a plan. He has a plan. And so basically, you have to ask Him, He'll direct you, and it will be taken down in the name of Jesus. He's provided that for you. You just have to now act on your part. So this wafer represents His part being done for you. So let's take it together. So if you open up the big part of your cup, you'll find some grape juice in there. Jesus, when He was with His disciples on that last day, before He gave His life, He held up a cup of wine. He said, "This is My blood given for you." So as we drink this, we're to remember that He shed His blood so that you can experience the promises He has for you. They're available for you. Now listen, there are giants trying to hinder you from them. But Jesus has purchased a way for you to have the victory. I promise you that. That's what His Word says. That's what we've spent all morning talking about. He has provided a way for you to have victory. So let's let Jesus win in and through us. Let's drink together. Father, Your Word speaks of the schemings of the devil against us. But Lord, Your Word also speaks of the promises that You've provided us, that You've got a plan for every single one of us. And Lord, the enemy's trying to stop us through those giants, through those strongholds, the wrong thinking that's inside of our minds. But Lord God, we also have Your truth that shows us the way. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord God, You'll show us the right way to think. You'll show us the strongholds that need to come down and surrender to You. So Lord, right now I thank You for every person here. I thank You for their desire to follow after You. I thank You for those that are watching as well. That Lord God, as we surrender these strongholds to You, we'll become stronger in You. Lord, I thank you for every person. Bless them as they go into their mission fields this week with their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.